announcements that need to be lifted up? Okay. Why don't you come over to the mic? Oh.
Good morning. For the past several Sundays, I've been trying to give you some ideas with regards to the ladies' upcoming hat event. Today, I've asked Victoria Sanchez to be a model and model this hat for you. Maybe the little girls' mothers could use a few hints for their hats. Today, Victoria is wearing what is known as a fedora. Fedoras were popular with both men and women. Fedoras have been around since the 1800s, and they've recently regained popularity as they've been revived and are being worn by current Hollywood stars. Victoria's hat is classic. It's crusted with gems, it's mod, it's sweet. You could say it's just fedorable. So ladies, whether you're big or small, old or young, just put on a hat and come and have a night of fun. It's the Women's Fellowship Hat Event, known as Hats Off to Women and Girls. So mark your calendars, Saturday, May 10th, here at the church. The dinner's at 6, followed by the hat contest. It's going to be fun. I hope to see you there, so please sign up.
Thanks, Victoria.
And this is open to all of you. I mean, not the men, of course. Unless you have a fedora with jewels, then we probably would allow you to come as well. But it's open to the entire community. So hopefully you'll take advantage of the invitation. Any other announcements? I want to take a moment to lift up any prayer concerns you might have. Anybody? And this is open to folks who are visitors with us today. If you personally have a prayer concern, or you know of somebody who needs prayer, who's sick, we would welcome an opportunity to pray with you. So if you have a prayer concern, just raise your hand and Richard will bring the mic around to you and you can briefly share your prayer concern. We need the mic on down here.
I just want to lift up my father, Ray Keeney. He's going to be having surgery on Thursday at Good Samaritan Hospital. He'll be in the hospital for at least a week, they said. So just keep him in your prayers. And also, if we could lift up Bud's mom, Ruth Larimer. She continues to be, we're not sure if she's at the hospital yet. She was anticipating being moved yesterday, but when Bud was there, she was still at the hospital. So she's either in the hospital or moving back to the nursing home. So keep her in your prayers.
I'm also going to lift up Matt's mom, Carol Sanchez. She is in the hospital again. She has a broken arm, and they're trying to figure out her medications. There's some issues with that, so we're not sure how long she'll be in.
Great. Thanks. Other prayer concerns? Patty?
I'd like to lift up the family of David Lookinbell. He passed away this week. He's my mother's cousin.
That was David? Oh, Marvin's cousin. Thanks. Joyce has been in the hospital as well. Joyce Luckinbill, let's remember her in our prayers.
Bob, I shared at the early service, but sharing here again, Jamie's friend Karen from Delaware, her mother has been having a lot of physical challenges in probably the last couple of years. And I guess it's a little more challenging for Karen as it's the last parent left of their parents. Hmm. And she's got a lot of burden on her, Karen does. Karen's mother has a lot of physical problems right now. And it's looking pretty serious, pretty potentially life-threatening. And just want to lift Karen up and her mother. Her mother's in the hospital in Baltimore. I also have the announcement about the search team. Shall I do that later or now?
No, do it right now.
All righty. Switching gears. This is a pretty exciting time for us as a congregation and for us as a search team. We've done a lot of work. We've gone through a lot of profiles, and we have three candidates that we're pretty interested in. And the time coming forward here, probably the next month or so, we're going to be interacting with these three people. So please pray. Continue to seek God's discernment, God's direction in this, both for us as a search team, but also for the candidates. And I might add a third element in, the churches that they might be leaving behind. Pray for all of that. Lift all of that up. But for us, it's an exciting time. Thank you.
Thanks, John. For those who are visiting today and don't know, I'm retiring in August. And so this congregation is in the process of seeking a new pastor, preferably one who is tall, dark, and handsome. And so you really need to pray this time, because they were praying for a tall, dark, and handsome pastor the last time, and this is what they got, okay? So really pray, okay? Any other joys or concerns? Let's come together during a time of prayer. God, thanks so much that we can be here today. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we rejoice, and we are glad in this day. Great to be here with the moms and dads and grandparents and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters of our preschoolers. Thank you, Lord. What a blessing these young ones are to this faith community. We thank you for their lives, and we pray that you'd watch over them and help them to grow and become the young men and women that you've created them to be. Thank you also that we can lift up Ray Keeney to you, and Bud's mom to you, and Matt's mom, Carol Sanchez, the family of David Luckenbill, and also Joyce Luckenbill. And then we also, Lord, we pray for Karen's mom. Pray that you would be with her and be a blessing to her. God, we thank you that we have an opportunity to come together, to rejoice together, to lift one another up, and to also weep together and pray together and be family together. We're so glad that we're a part of the family of God. We ask your blessing on our service today. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would take out your blue hymnals, turn to hymn number 87, and let's stand as we sing together.
standing and join me in the call to faith. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me with all your heart, you will find me. Please be seated.
He's waving back there, you see him?
Hi, Mommy. My mom and daddy told me.
Okay, we're going to sing.
Oh, I have a friend, and Jesus is his name. He is with me night and day.
Jesus cares about his friends, young and old, big and small.
Boy, that was some beautiful singing. And that whistling, whoa! You all were really practicing.
Yeah, I haven't been practicing. I kept trying and trying.
You kept trying and trying. Yeah.
Until I whistled.
Wow. That's cool. Well, you know, you are all instruments. In fact, you're kind of God's symphony. And you're all instruments that God loves to play to make beautiful music. Did you know that? I can prove that, because I just happen to have some other instruments in my case. I have one of my favorite instruments is a
kazoo.
Hey, I didn't laugh when you sang. And then I also, do you know what this is? It's kind of a flute. It's a penny whistle. Kind of squeaks, doesn't it? Got that. Oh, and here's a really old instrument. And here's a modern version of that. That's my elephant song. Can you still hear? Okay, good. Well, you know, there's something that all of these instruments have in common with one another. Do you know what it is? Who has a guess?
I do.
What's your guess?
I like the flute.
You like the flute. Great. And what does it take to play the flute?
Make music.
Yeah, when I put it up to my mouth, what happens? Yes?
It makes noise.
But what helps it to make the noise? What do I do? What do I put into the flute to make the sound?
Air.
Air. Yes. Everybody say it. Air.
Air.
Yeah, right. And you know that in the very beginning, when God made the first man and woman, the Bible says that God breathed into the first man and woman the breath of life. And so each of us, you know, we have God's breath in us. And just like I took these instruments and I breathed my air into them and made music, when we whistle together, we're God's instruments.
Yeah.
And if we're God's instruments, you know what we're invited to do? To make beautiful music to God. In fact, there's a verse that I'd like to teach you this morning. Psalm 100, verse 1. Can you say that with me? Psalm 100, verse 1. And here's the verse. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Say that. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Everyone, everywhere. Everyone, everywhere. Can we say that all together? And you help us as well. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Everyone, everywhere. Because we are God's instruments. Okay? Okay, you're dismissed now. And you're invited to stand and sing hymn number 401.
Thank you.
In the 30-day generosity devotional, Seven Keys to Open-Handed Living in a Tight-Fisted World, the focus is on the following keys, which are intended to help people live generous lives. Number one, submit yourself and all you have to the Lord. Two, study the scriptures on finances and generosity. Three, see what God has provided in your life. Four, set aside resources to give. Number five, systematically give. Six, spontaneously give as the Lord leads you. Seven, simplify your life to be even more generous. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to understand that just as we want our children to grow up to be grateful and generous adults, you want us to grow spiritually and become grateful and generous Christians. In your name we pray. Amen. The scripture lesson this morning comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 30. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified.
God works for good in all circumstances. That's one of the most misunderstood verses in the whole scripture. You've got some folks on the one side saying, yeah, God is good. What about all of those people who lost their lives in that mudslide out in the state of Washington? Or what about these tornadoes that are sweeping across the nation right now? Or what about all of those kids on that ferry in Korea? You're telling me God works for good? Cut it out. And then there are people in the equation who say, oh, if God works for good in all circumstances, then it really doesn't matter how I live. God will pull me out of the fire. God will save my bacon. God will pull a rabbit out of the hat no matter how bad I mess up. Well, we need to read the full verse in order to understand the meaning of it. Because Paul said, God works for good in all circumstances with those who love him and are called to his purposes. And so this is really a relational verse. It's not a historic verse. It's not about God's acts in history. It's about the way God acts in our lives and through our lives. And truly, our God works for good with those who love him and are committed to his purpose. Now, there's a wonderful verse that adds some explanation to that. Paul is writing from prison. He's writing to a church in Philippi. And from prison, Paul writes one of the most positive books of the entire Bible. Some of the most uplifting verses in the Bible you'll find in the book of Philippians. And I want to share a small passage from Philippians chapter 1. Paul writes, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the very first day until now. And then listen to what Paul says next. It's a wonderful promise. I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will finish his work. God has begun a good work in you, in each of us. I love the way the psalmist speaks of this in Psalm 139. Listen to these words from Psalm 139. The psalmist, the writer, is thanking God, and he writes, for you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And the word here, fearfully, doesn't mean I was so scary that everybody was afraid when they saw me. The word fear in the Old Testament can better be translated reverence. God, you created me reverently. I was someone that you thought about long and hard before you knit me together in my mother's womb. God, everything that you make is wonderful. And I am proof of that in my own life because you have made me so wonderfully. Now, this isn't somebody who's egotistical, who stands up and looks in the mirror every day. Well, back then they didn't have mirrors to admire himself or herself. But this is someone who is giving the credit to God for this wonderful creation that he had become. And so Paul wants to remind us that everything that's good, everything in our life, it begins with God. In fact, Paul said that in another one of his letters. He said, every good and perfect gift comes from God. God began a good work in you. The second thing Paul wants us to know is that this work that God has done, well, it's not a finished work. So, you know, there are some times when we think, man, why even bother? I mean, I have messed up so many times. I've made this mistake so many times. Why even try anymore? And it feels like every time we come to a crisis, it almost feels like it's the end of all things. It's the end of the world for us. We could never move beyond this point of failure, beyond this point of grief, beyond this point of sorrow, beyond this point of sickness. Paul says, God has begun a good work in you. You know, we're not, God's not done yet. Anybody want to say hallelujah? Hallelujah. God's not done yet. There is still work to be done. And that reminds me of another one of my favorite verses from, favorite scripture passages from the prophet Jeremiah. Listen to this. Boy, this is such good news. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. The Lord said, Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw the potter working at his pottery wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand. And so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, O people of God, declares the Lord, like the clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. Boy, that's such good news. That, you know, when we're feeling bloated, when the diet that we've been on for the past 6 months, 6 years, 60 years, seems like it's not taken us anywhere. And I'm talking now not physically, but spiritually. That when we're just feeling like nothing that we do brings the kind of joy into our lives that we would like to experience. Nothing that we seem to do enables our relationships to be as cherished as we'd like them to be. Nothing that we do with our children seems to sink in. And, you know, as somebody who has 4 sons who are all men now, all adults, it's amazing to me. It's a miracle that it actually did sink in, a lot of it. But there were times when my guys were the age of your guys. Well, they were actually still cute then. They waited till they were 10 and 11 to get bad. And then they didn't get over that until they were in their 20s. And it seems like, man, and particularly as a pastor, you know, I think, God, what have I done wrong? I mean, how dare I stand up before people and tell them how to live their lives when I have failed so miserably as a father? I've felt that way from time to time. And then I look back over the lives of these young men now, and I think, yeah, well, I did mess up, but God, you pulled the rabbit out of the hat. You saved my bacon. God, you do good work. And that's what Paul wanted to remind the people in Philippi. And that's what God wants to remind us today. We have a God who has begun a good work in our lives. We have a God who does good things. You find that message throughout the Bible. You look at the creation narratives in the book of Genesis, and after each moment of creation, God kind of stood back and looked at it and said, wow, oh, that's good. And I believe that in each of our lives, even when we are at our worst, even when we're not all that tall, dark, and handsome, God nevertheless stands back and says, wow, that's a good piece of work. That's a good piece of work. Paul wants to remind us, our God wants to remind us, that God has begun a good work. Now, and here's the best part of this little verse. Paul says, God has begun a good work in you. You see, this is where God does his best work. Oh, he did okay with the Rocky Mountains. I mean, I'm not complaining. But God does his best work with his children. God has reverently knit each of us together in our mother's wombs. And we are, as the psalmist said, fearfully and wonderfully made. God doesn't want us to ever forget that. One of my heroes is Abraham Lincoln. There is a story among the brethren that Abraham Lincoln was baptized in Pipe Creek Church of the Brethren in Maryland, that Abraham Lincoln made a lot of trips back and forth by carriage to Gettysburg. And he passed these brethren, you know, back then we all had, you know, long beards and broad-brim hats. And he was infatuated with these brethren, and he got acquainted with them, and before his death, asked to be baptized. Now, there's no historical record of this. I was a pastor in Maryland for 7 years, and that's where I heard the story. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's not a true story. Abraham Lincoln we know him now as one of the greatest presidents that we've ever had. What we don't realize is that during his presidency, he was one of the most hated men in the United States. In the South, they absolutely hated him. In the North, they thought he was weak and tall and gangly and ugly. And when he was assassinated, they found 5 things in his pocket. One was a handkerchief that had A. Lincoln embroidered on it. There was also a little penknife. There was a glass case that was held together with a piece of string. He was obviously Pennsylvania Dutch. He had a $5 bill, but it was Confederate money. And there was a crumpled up newspaper clipping in which there was a quote by a British statesman by the name of John Bright. And in that crumpled up little newspaper clipping, John Bright referred to Abraham Lincoln as one of the greatest leaders of all time. You and I can't imagine what that must have meant to him when he felt that he was one of the most hated men in history. He needed to be reminded that there was nevertheless something good about him. And so if you don't remember anything else today, I want you to remember this. God doesn't make junk. We are each one of us a unique, one-of-a-kind, custom-designed child of God. God has begun a good work in you. It's not a finished work, but listen to this. Even when you feel like quitting, even when you feel like giving up, God will never quit until the work is finished. Let's pray. God, we thank you for these encouraging words. Lord, you know our innermost thoughts, and you know how there are times when we beat up on ourselves. We feel that there's very little good about us. That we keep tripping over the same things, making the same mistakes, shooting ourselves in the foot. The very people we love, we say mean-spirited things to. And there are times when our smiles are, they're just fake. Because inside of us we're weeping. Thank you for the reminder today that our God doesn't make junk. We, each of us, have been fearfully and wonderfully made. And the good work that you've begun in our lives, you will see to completion. Lord, this is such good news. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise to our feet again and sing in closing hymn number 352. Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us. We had a song in our early service. We have two services each Sunday in 8:15. We sang this song in the 8:15 service. Not sure why I didn't put it into the service, but I want to close with the words to this song as a benediction for us. A benediction is a blessing. And I will raise you up. This is the Lord speaking. And I will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn. Make you to shine like the sun and hold you in the palm of my hand. That's what God wants to do in our lives, to hold each of us in the palm of our hands. So let's not be like rambunctious children who try to pull away and run and do our own thing. But let us reach out, take hold of the hand of our God, and welcome the work that He wants to continue to do in our lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen.